It's Here and Now, and we had planned a Washington check-in for this segment, and we have to start with the terrible news of the day, reports that journalist Stephen Sotloff has been murdered, beheaded by ISIS militants. Margaret Tolov is the White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. She joins us from Washington. And Margaret, the White House had its normal briefing today. What, if anything, did we hear about this terrible headline?
Yeah, of course, it is terrible news, devastating news for Steve Sotloff's family, for colleagues in journalism and whom, and politically and geopolitically, very bad news for the White House. Although they realized that this may be a consequence, they had been, you know, warned by ISIS that the president's next decisions in Iraq would have a direct impact on Sotloff's life. The news of this revelation broke as the White House briefing for the day had already started. And so Josh Earnest, the press secretary, was asked about it during the briefing, but had little sort of concretely that he could report beyond sending prayers and thoughts for his family. They had not, he was not aware of an independent confirmation of it at that point, again, because the news had spread after the briefing had started. So we are expecting to hear more from the White House as the day goes on, but this just adds a new layer of complexity to a situation that the president, by his own admission in recent days, has had a hard time coming up with a strategy to handle.
Well, and again, first, foremost, and then maybe after that even, the most important aspect of this is this tragic human loss. But what does it mean in this context of the call on the president to do more? You're referring to the press conference from last Thursday when he said he doesn't have a strategy in Syria yet for taking on ISIS. Afterwards, some of his biggest supporters, Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein, head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, had this to say on Meet the Press.
I think I've learned one thing about this president, and that is he's very cautious. Maybe in this instance, too cautious.
Here we have this second death of an American, but as horrible as that is, we know that ISIS has been beheading Syrians. And so what is this going to do for this call to do more when it's such a complicated issue?
Well, certainly domestically and politically, it's going to ramp up on the pressure on the president to, quote unquote, do something. The challenge for the White House has been that the way that the Obama administration has been dealing with ISIS and the growing threat or possibly growing threat of ISIS in recent months has been geographic. It has been bounded by country lines, and the president has dealt with ISIS in a much different way in Iraq than he has in Syria. And the reasons are twofold, but they're connected. One has been that the leadership in Iraq has asked for help, while in Syria, number one, Bashar al-Assad is not, like, asking us for stuff, and we're not in sort of cahoots with him. And number two, the president had already held off on doing an airstrike campaign on the Assad regime, and there's this sort of seesaw between power that Assad holds and power that ISIS holds, so they're on opposite ends, and we've been trying to find that, you know, quote-unquote moderate opposition, the rebels in Syria who the U.S. wants to do business with. So the president has approached ISIS differently in the two countries. And then part two really goes back to domestic politics. It's been this question of whether the president needs to get formal approval from Congress on any of this. And you get into the War Powers Act, you get into John Boehner's previous threats to impeach the president. The president has tried to draw a really careful line between things that he can do without telling or asking Congress and things that he needs to ask Congress to do. And that is defined in many ways how we have dealt with the approach to ISIS. The problem is that ISIS knows no boundaries and will go wherever it needs to go to do whatever it needs to do. And so the U.S. approach has not been working. And the president is really stretched to find out what will work, not just in the short term, snuffing out a short term threat, but in the long term, if he really doesn't want to recommit U.S. troops, you know, to this part of the world.
Well, it gets further complicated. You have people who were against airstrikes a year ago who are now saying the president should have done more. You have people who say that not doing the airstrikes a year ago meant it led to Assad giving up his chemical weapons in exchange. And then you have the issue of arms. Senator John McCain on CBS's Face the Nation yesterday talked about that. Let's listen.
One of the biggest mistakes ever made, in my view, in recent times was the president's overruling his entire national security team, including the Secretary of State that argued 2 years ago for freeing the providing weapons for the Free Syrian Army. That was a seminal moment.
But, Margaret, others are arguing that those arms that he says should have been given would now be in the hands of ISIS, which overran the more moderate Free Syrian Army. Again, the Free Syrian Army just looking to overthrow the Assad regime, while ISIS looking to install an Islamic caliphate. Yeah. So there's that complicated question.
That's precisely what the president and most of his advisors believe to be true. And you really need look no further than Russia and the situation in Ukraine with the pro-Russian rebels to see how when arms get into the hands of people who are kind of operating on their own or don't really know what they're doing, they're not professional armies, the things can get completely out of hand. So that caution and that concern about unintended consequences has absolutely guided President Obama to this point. But now he's facing the inevitable call that in, you know, trying to be really careful and not do a mistake of unintended consequences, he kind of missed the window to do something. Let's add another layer to it. Look at the president's priorities right now in the Middle East and the Arab world. Iran and getting Iran to the table on the nuclear power issue is still paramount. Mideast peace and U.S. policy toward Israel is still paramount. All of those are affected by the calculus in how you take on ISIS, how you fight ISIS, and who you're inadvertently emboldening or weakening through those actions.
Well, Margaret, with just the minute that we have, we come back around to the news of the day that's prompting this conversation. Journalist Steve Stotloff reportedly beheaded by ISIS militants. The second journalist in a couple weeks after, of course, James Foley. We just have to say again how extraordinary it is that these people are doing this work with this incredible risk.
Absolutely. Every journalist knows when you go into war, formal war, old-fashioned war, that it's a dangerous thing to cover. But this is really a new thing and a different sort of frontier. It doesn't recognize the same boundaries. There are kind of none of the protective rules that have applied for so long in conflicts, and that makes it very difficult and dangerous to do.
Margaret Talov, a White House correspondent for Bloomberg News, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Here and Now.